Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Love, and Wellness.
Thank you for being a part of this life event. I am so excited you chose to join in today. So let's get this party started. Each week as we come together, we take time to anchor ourselves in affirmative reading. So for this week, I envision a world of pure, true acceptance of each living being into a family of absolute unity. I create this masterpiece for humanity by my concentrated efforts of allowing every person I know and encounter to be themselves. Information for this upcoming week is, I offer my best at all times. Now we pause for a moment of inner reflection by becoming still for just a moment as we honor our ancestors. Today, I honor all ancestors. They are indeed our way showers, our truth. Without them, we would not exist. Thank you. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. The mission of Life, Love, Wellness is for the uplifting of ourselves, truly loving ourselves, and being genuinely involved in our holistic wellness. Our topic today is women, strong, angry, or misunderstood. We have a very special guest who will be joining us shortly, Ms. Crystal Talley, life and wellness coach, change agent, and a number one best-selling author. Hold on to your seats for her story. Audience, you are invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed, and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance, no judgment. Call in and speak with me on 516-31-9819. And simply press 1 to alert me you want to speak on air. The contents of this radio show are intended for information and educational purposes only. Nothing is intended to diagnose or prescribe treatment for any health condition. Our intention is to help guide you to live a healthy lifestyle and prevent health problems. If you suspect you have a health problem, please seek qualified health professionals to help you make the healthiest informed choice. Always consult with your doctor before taking or starting any new health treatment program. Nothing stated is intended to constitute a medical diagnosis or treatment. Nothing is intended as a recommendation or endorsement of any specific test, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on this show. I am not a licensed physician, simply someone like you who have taken personal, primary responsibility for my own health. Please use licensed physicians as needed. Any reliance on any information provided is solely at the user's risk. You are listening to Life, Love, Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We are going to have just an absolute wonderful time today as we discuss women, strong, angry, or misunderstood. I know we have a lot to cover and a lot of different perspectives on this topic that we've chosen for this week, and I am so excited to get this the conversation going. This is just so important. With Life, Love, and Wellness, we like to bring up topics that would just kind of stir that energy within us that sometimes lay dormant because we don't have an opportunity to have open discussions about those issues that are really true and dear to our heart. And so we look at women from various perspectives, and that can lead to misinformed information or labels and stereotypes being reached, which aren't necessarily appropriate. So I am going to start with just a brief little musical interlude here, and let's see if you recognize who this is. Jill Scott, Golden. I love it. I love it. With such life and vigor, she sings that song. So the article that actually is responsible for this show was posted on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and it says, a new study shows how the pressure to be strong can leave black women denying, ignoring their own struggles with depression. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You're welcome to call and chat on air with us at 516-531-9819. Simply press 1 to signal you wish to make a statement on air. So today we're discussing women, strong, angry, or misunderstood, strong sisters, female warriors. What is a strong woman? How would you describe a strong woman? Sisters, I really want to hear your voice tonight as well. We have several articles, and again, the article that began this whole discussion. So the author, Taylor Gordon, was the person that posted it. It says, researchers talked to more than 1,400 black women and roughly 340 white women. Only 10% of the black women reported dealing with depression or any other mental health disorder. More than 20% of the white women said they dealt with at least one mental health disorder. Another 22% of white women admitted to dealing with any kind of mood disorder, while only 14% black women reported so. Black women are a population that has to fight battles against both sexism and racism, delivering a left hook and an uppercut to their fight for equality in a white, male-dominated world. That type of stress makes it very easy to slip into the grips of depression, but the stigma about depression and other mental health disorders in the black community discourages many black people from seeking help for such conditions or even realizing that they have a problem. Dr. Monica Coleman, a black professor and author who has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, once explained that just the idea of going to therapy is taboo in the black community. Seeing a therapist is generally seen as a sign of weakness or a lack of faith, Dr. Coleman explained during an interview on PBS. There is still an active mythos of the strong black woman who is supposed to be strong and present and everyone in her family and neglects her own needs. Dr. Coleman revealed that during one of her own depressive episodes, a friend told her that black people are the descendants of those who survived the Middle Passage and slavery. Whatever you're going through cannot be that bad. So it has become so normal for some black women to subject themselves to limitless sacrifices, emotional stress, and excessive burdens that they often don't even realize when they have crossed the line into depression. So whether it's caused by undeserved shame or a lack of realization, black women are indeed far less likely to report struggling with depression. They are far less likely to deem what has been presented to them as the daily life and responsibilities of the strong black woman as depression. They will rarely open up to find comfort in others when they have been taught to always be the source of comfort themselves. And so I tell a personal story, my own bout with mental health issue. I was working a very high-profile job, traveling the state of California, raising a son as a single parent. And I was had just returned from a trip from San Francisco from our corporate office doing a report on a new project that I had just instituted within the telecom company. And when I went to work, the people that reported to me were complaining that I really did not look well and that I should seek medical help. And, of course, being the strong woman that I am or was, I just totally dismissed what they had to say. And as I was headed home, or so I thought I was on my way home, my chest began to have this really, really heavy, heavy feeling. And I thought I was having a heart attack. So I made the trip to the emergency room, to ER, and the doctor that I was scheduled to see just happened to be the head of the mental health department for Kaiser. And so my blessings came as a result of dealing with Dr. Schmidt, who is still a very personal friend of mine. And he took me through just a series of tests. So he gave me some medicines because he told me that my hormones were out of balance. And so I took the prescription. And so the next week, you know, he asked me some questions, and I didn't seem to have made too much progress from the week before. And he said, "Well, didn't I give you your prescription?" I was like, "Well, yes, you know." And so he's like, well, okay, well, we'll try. We'll see next week. So the next week I came back, and he was like, well, and asked me some questions about, you know, how I was feeling, and I still had not progressed a lot. And so he's like, but you have your prescription. I'm like, yes. Then he thought, he said, but are you taking the prescription? I'm like, no, I ain't taking those pills. I got a thing against taking pills and stuff. And so it was hard to deal with being diagnosed as having some type of mental health issue and then to be taking pills for it as well. And so, yes, I agree. Women, particularly black women, have a problem or are very reluctant to admit to or go into mental health. And so one of the things that Dr. Schmidt helped me to realize with that was he said, you know, if you had a broken arm, you would be in a cast, and no one would question your state of health. They would see that your arm is broken, but mental health can't be seen. And so that within itself stands to be the biggest downfall or the biggest opportunity for people to not really take it as a serious condition. So that's just what I went through, and I was so thankful that I had that experience. Again, it was the luck of the draw by God's blessing that I was able to get the head of the mental health department in that ER room when I thought I was having a heart attack. So I have an article here written by Haley Hartzell, 21 years of age, and her article is entitled Five Reasons to Be a Strong Woman. And I love this beginning quote that she uses. The woman who does not require validation from anyone is the most feared individual on the planet. I thought that is just absolutely the most powerful statement I've read in a long time. And so she goes on to write, as a woman, I have always been fascinated by the threat that independent women pose to a society built on female subordination. I am a strong, fierce woman who is capable of holding her own intellectually, physically, and mentally. And as such, I have developed a unique perspective on the world and the way that it treats women who do not subscribe to the typical gender stereotypes. She says, I have embraced my personality, sassy, full of gumption, curious, determined, stubborn, rational, sarcastic, witty, and reserved. I do not like to be fucked with, and I am willing to ask for what I want and to take it when necessary. I am often told that I am crazy or too passionate about my goals in life. And what makes my deviations from gender roles even more pronounced is my lack of a boyfriend or even the desire to obtain one. I often get asked if I am a lesbian, bisexual, or mentally unstable. People are always going to be there telling you why you should be demure, feminine, and sacrificing your dreams for others. In my 21 years of life, I have had many people try to change me, tell me things are impossible, encourage me to lower my standards and reshape and to shape my personality. It is okay, brilliant even, to be an independent, strong woman in a world that wants you to be weak. Her 5 points are, number one, being strong does not mean you have to sacrifice your sensitivity. Number two, strength is sexy. Number three, a strong woman is a threat, and that is a good thing. Number four, strong women force society to reconsider its values. And number five, strong women can conquer the world. Found an article posted by Lauren Kearney, Strong Women, Strong Girls. It's called Be a Woman of Substance. And a woman of substance is a woman of power, a woman of positive influence, and a woman of meaning. The pressure put on women in today's society is immense. Women should not let the likes of perfected images or criticism affect us. Being different and imperfect is far more interesting than being a perfect person. Use your voice. We are all blessed with voices to use when it comes to standing up for what I believe in or voicing my opinions on things. I never fail to make use of my voice. So that is addressed to a group of girls. This was written by a mature woman, and I'm just going to briefly scan through it. The myths of the strong black woman, or the SBW, as she calls it, and she says one should aspire, feel complimented when they are called a strong black woman, and we blame ourselves for any indication that we are falling below the standards of the SW. It is really terrifyingly, astonishingly, and effortlessly well-crafted, this myth, insofar as long as we are kept either desiring or believing ourselves actually to be strong black women, there is no amount of pure nonsense, abuse, overwork, ingratitude, exploitation, underappreciation, and just plain shit that we will not put up one's pride as a strong black woman who will willingly provide free emotional and mental labor to everyone else. A strong black woman, it is understood, do not suffer emotionally as much as the other more fragile and less and helpless non-SBW population, because they are strong and thus better able to endure better. The ugly fact that strong black women are granted less time for grieving, assumed to have less sense of loss and suffering, and required to have a faster recovery time from trauma than everybody else. And this was an article that I love here. It's a message to women from a man. You are not crazy. Yashir Ali. He calls the attitudes toward women as being emotional manipulation, an epidemic that defines women as crazy, irrational, overly sensitive, and unhinged. I think it's time to separate inconsiderate behavior from emotional manipulation, and we need to use a word not found in our normal vocabulary. So he came up with and created the word gaslighting. And he says gaslighting is a term used by mental health professionals to describe manipulative behavior used to confuse people into thinking that their reactions are so far off base that they're crazy. And I thought that was a very interesting way of stating that. And he says that we have come to accept the idea that women are unbalanced, irrational individuals, especially in times of anger and frustration. Acts of gaslighting steal their most powerful tool, their voice. This is something we do to women every day in many different ways. Believe is connected to the slow and steady drumbeat of women being undermined and dismissed. We are conditioned to believe that women's opinions don't hold as much weight as ours, that what women have to say, what they feel, isn't quite as legitimate. Now, that's coming from a man. And then my last article is by a Dr. Lawrence Wilson. He said, why are women so angry? And he says, becoming angry has similar effects on the body as does fighting or running away. And the act of becoming angry prepares the body for a fight, and it does take a toll on one's health. Instead of dealing with an issue, one reverses it and tries to send the problem back outside of oneself, blaming others. In this sense, getting angry is a non-action response that seems like action, but really it is not. As projection as reversal. To project something means to sort of spit it out of oneself and assign it or give it to someone or something outside of oneself. And so his whole philosophy on why are women so angry deals with women have more fear and therefore they're more prone to anger. We have a slower oxidation rate than men in general. Women tend to be lower energy creatures than men. Their fathers and perhaps older brothers did not know how to love them properly. And so not loving a young girl properly is very common. When a father or older brother does not provide this role model, young girls become very angry, and it gets worse if they later marry men who are like their father or older brothers. So there's just a lot of different opinions on why women are the way women are. But who gets to define us? Is it the brothers? Is it the women? Is it ourselves individually, collectively? Who gets to define us? That's a question that we have today in front of us. And so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to come back with our treat, our special treat, Miss Crystal Talley. So let's quick break here, and we're going to come right back. This may go longer than what we normally do, but it's okay because we're doing this and all in the name of love, life, and wellness. The Sandy Rogers Show will be right back. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Thank you for showing up tonight and being a part of this life event. I am so excited you decided to join us. Today, we're discussing women, strong, angry, or misunderstood. The conversation has been very enlightening so far, and as I promised, here is your very special treat for today's show. Without further ado, I introduce to you my friend, Ms. Crystal Talley. Crystal is a life coach, a change agent, a wellness practitioner, a number one best-selling author of Get in the Game. I had the distinct pleasure of meeting Crystal back in 2012 at a domestic violence conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota, convened by WOCN, Women of Color Network. We have remained friends, and often Crystal is serving as a cheerleader in my activities of life, be it encouraging me on my writing or following up to see what I'm doing. Crystal says wellness is her work, and she will explain her seven dimensions of wellness. What caused the weight gain and the other issues that have prompted her on this journey. She's currently competing for Max Muscle and Gold's Gym competitions. Crystal says she's thankful that I never gave up, never give up, and always push no matter how hard it and life gets. So we welcome you to Life, Love, and Wellness.
Thanks, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Pleasure. Yes, I can.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can you tell the audience what motivated you to begin on your journey?
Well, let me start here first. I started my journey at my highest weight, which was 330 pounds, and I've currently lost 145 pounds. So far.
Yay.
I still have pretty excited about that. I still have about, I would say, maybe 18 to 20 more pounds to lean out. But what caused the weight gain was emotional trauma. And, you know, most people think that weight gain, you know, comes from people just because they want to eat. You know, they like food that much. They like cake that much. They like pies that much. But perhaps they may like those things, but not enough to hurt themselves. It's usually some sort of emotional baggage that they're carrying. And for me, dealing with having the experience of domestic violence and emotional abuse, and the murder of my dad from my sister, and having a child sexually assaulted, in addition to surviving the 9/11 attack at the Pentagon, you know, and depression, and, you know, losing a job and losing a car and so on and so forth, you know, a lot of that stuff added up. And I, you know, currently hold a clearance. So most of my work, well, the majority of my work has been in the Department of Defense. And so, you know, by me having a clearance, you know, the only choice, well, not only the only choice, but the choice that I chose to medicate myself was food, you know, because I still had, you know, kids to take care of and a mortgage to pay and so on and so forth. So my choice of drug was food. So I ate myself all the way up to 330 pounds. So that's where the weight gain came from, the emotional trauma.
And so you're very clear about that. Did you go to, like, a doctor for a diagnosis? Did you understand what it was and you dealt with it in that sense? And what I'm doing is wanting to create a pattern, so to speak, for the audience. Is it necessary to go to a doctor before you start taking care of yourself, providing health self-care?
For me, I knew what the issue was because I've been battling with that issue for quite some time. And a lot of these things didn't happen at one time. They were over a period of time. So I knew that I had to deal with the issues, and I knew that the eating was a part of me dealing with the issues. So, no, I didn't I didn't seek any sort of assistance with that. I kind of dealt with it on my own. And by me being a life coach and a wellness coach, I pretty much understood what that type of behavior was. But, you know, it's okay, you know, to go seek professional help or to see a doctor. That's, you know, that's individual choice. But for me, I pretty much knew what my issue was, and I just dealt with it. And so, and it got to a, not the funny part, but the interesting part of it is when I was making all of that money and I was working and, you know, I had a car and so on and so forth, I really didn't deal with it that at that time. I mean, I tried, but then I stopped, and then I tried, and then something else happened. But it was until, you know, I lost my car, I was unemployed, that's when I decided to change my life. That's when I decided to really decided that I didn't want to live that way anymore, and I was going to change my life regardless. And so during that time, well, before I lost my job, that's when I started the Gold's Gym Challenge and the Max Muscle Challenge. And as a matter of fact, I did win first place in the Max Muscle Challenge. Won't know whether or not I won the Gold's Gym Challenge until sometime next week. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Congratulations, Crystal.
Thank you. So it was during my darkest moment that I decided to change my life. And that just goes to show you how you can will your mind to really do something. If you really want to change your life, you can do it regardless of the situation or the circumstances. So by my car being gone and I worked out at 4:30 in the morning, that means that I would have to, you know, get up at 3 in the morning and catch that bus at 4:01 to get to the gym by 4:30 a.m. in the morning to train and work out. So when I continued doing that, I was very, very determined that I was going to change my life, period. There was nothing was going to stop me. I know here in the D.C. area, we had several snowstorms, and I was still out there catching a bus at 4:01 in the morning to get to the gym. And one morning, when we had that last storm, the government was closed and a lot of the businesses were shut down, and I still made it there to the gym. I was determined. I wasn't giving up. So that just goes to show you how strong of a person you really are. If you really want to do something to change your life, you can do it.
It sounds like you had a no excuses mentality, that you were going to achieve your goals that you had set out and nothing was going to stop you. I know if I don't know how deep the snow is there, but if mounds of snow doesn't stop you and you're out there every day. So what was that like for you, that having that determination?
Well, and I'm not going to say that some mornings I didn't wake up and I looked outside and saw the snow and rain and didn't feel like going. That would not be true. But even though I saw the snow and even though I saw the rain, I still, you know, made my way out there. And it felt good once I arrived at the gym and worked out. You know, it was like a day-by-day thing. And, you know, it felt great. It felt great to really put your mind to something and really to stick to it and reach your goal, you know, and do two challenges. And I had some great support. I had a great support system as well from Gold's Gym as well as Max Muscle. They definitely supported me throughout my journey. So I definitely want to honor them at this moment and give them thanks. Because they really did a lot to help me as well.
Excellent. And I know that that support team, and I'm sure you do that in your life coach work as well, offer that as one of the resources a person would utilize in changing or establishing new patterns in their life. What effects on your mental health, the determination, the creation of new behaviors, the getting up and going to the gym at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, what or how did that impact your mental health, your depression? What effects did it have on that?
Actually, with the exercising, and in addition to the clean eating, that helped a lot with the depression, as well as meditation. I meditate twice a day, and so that definitely helps. Most foods that we eat have a lot of chemicals in them, such as GMOs, genetically modified particles, and all kinds of things that are in our foods that causes a lot of the depression as well. So, I don't want to get all into the GMO foods versus, the organic foods versus the conventional foods, but a lot of the foods that we eat are pretty bad for us and for our well-being. So, but my mind feels clearer, and I'm more determined than ever to achieve anything in life. Once you achieve great success in something else, especially during one of your dark moments, that gives you the determination to continue on to achieve more things greater than just that.
Yeah. Very well said. Tell us about your 7 dimensions of wellness.
Well, like you said earlier, I am I'm a life coach. I'm a certified life coach, as well as a licensed and certified a new life story coach. And in my new life story coach, in my new life story practice, I focus on business, success, life, and wellness. But I also incorporated the 7 dimensions of wellness. And the 7 dimensions of wellness is just the whole total man. It's the integration of the different states of wellness, which is physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, environmental, occupational, and intellectual. So when most people think about wellness, they only think about just the physical and the eating. But wellness integrates all of that part of a person that makes them well. And what I believe is that if we, as each individual person, takes responsibility for our own wellness, I think that will create a ripple effect of change within the world, because a lot of people in the world aren't well. So my focus is integrating the 7 dimensions of wellness in my practice of life coaching, and also in my nonviolent communication teaching as well.
Great. That's a wonderful, and I like how you have incorporated the different facets in your wellness program. Now, you told us earlier of some of the things that you had to overcome, the traumas and the dramas experienced. I know, right? pretty drastic. Some of it actually was, And so you also have another habit, which I find very interesting, and it's uplifting as well, but you post pictures all day long. Can you explain why you do that and what benefits, if any, that you have, or the reasons why you do that?
Well, initially when I started posting on Facebook, it was for myself. It was accountability to myself. It was just accountability to myself. And then I started getting messages from people asking me questions about my weight loss, asking me questions about my journey, asking me questions about, you know, what should they eat, what exercises they should do. And so then I began to post more. And so I spent a lot of time on Facebook because I have two pages. I have my fan page, which is my book page, and then I have my personal page. So I'm toggling back and forth on instant message on both of them. But my personal page was initially just an accountability to myself. And so what I'm finding out with that is that a lot of people are asking me, you know, different questions. So I think I'm going to have to start doing videos because I can't spend all day on Facebook, even though I really enjoyed the interacting with the people. But I'm going to have to try and do videos to try and save some time, as well as probably doing some other type of training, maybe some webinars or something like that. But I'm really grateful for all the people that follow me. And not only am I encouraging them, but they encourage me as well.
Excellent. So you want to give us the information, your Facebook page information?
Sure. My Facebook is Crystal, which is CrysTal, Tally, Tallely. And there's two pages. Both of them are named the same, but one of them has book underneath. So you can go to either one of those pages.
Thank you. And tell us about your book. Now, I did see on Facebook you received your number one best-selling certification from the publisher, Get in the Game. And then I think you also have something else coming up. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. I'm very excited about that, Get in the Game. There were several different organizations and businesses that supported me within that book. That book, Get in the Game, I co-authored that book with several other experts around the world, and we got together. All of them are change agents. We all got together and wrote a chapter in that book. And in that book, there's different areas of change. There's a business, there's a wellness, there's spiritual, and there's financial. So there's different parts of that book. It's a great book, a great tool to have. But yes, we did reach 7 best-selling lists for that particular book. And that book is still available. It's on Amazon if you want to check that out. It's called Get in the Game. Also, I have another book that's coming out called When There Are No Answers, and that book should be out sometime in September of this year.
So When There Are No Answers, does that chronicle your life?
It's a surprise.
Okay. We'll leave that like that then. But I know it's going to be wonderful. You share so freely of your knowledge with the world, so that is absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, and Crystal is going to stay on the line with me. So if anyone has any questions for me or for Crystal, just press the number 1 on your keypad. The number to call in is 516-531-9819. Again, this is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take just a brief break, and we'll come back and continue with the discussion.
So today,
Heavenly Father, I want to take time out to thank you. Thank you for the highs, the lows, the mountains, the valleys. But most of all, thank you for family. got my family here, y'all. By the way, this is Jay Moss, Clarkson, and Kiera. Yeah. Big ups to my big brother, D. Lawrence. Y'all know how we get down. Yeah. Thank you.
You are my sunshine.
Come on, ladies, real sweet. Get it right all the time.
I know that I'm not right sometimes.
But when I needed y'all, y'all were there.
You know I need you so, so. You're something special.
You proved it over and over again.
Prove it all the time.
And I know that you're
mine. Know that you are mine, always.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We have been so graced with the presence of Crystal Talley joining us tonight as we're discussing women, strong, angry, or misunderstood. It has really been a very good conversation going on and around this, and we would love to hear whatever comments that you have, whatever questions you have. You may reach us on air by calling 516-531-9819. Simply press 1 to let us know that you have something you would like to share online. Caller 404-707, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tammy. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful show, Sandy. It was really wonderful. And Crystal, I admire you. My question is, when did you find out that you were regaining your power, your authentic self?
Wow. Well, it was When I decided to take responsibility for myself is when I regained the power back.
Okay.
Because at that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. When I decided to take responsibility for myself, that's when I gained the power back, when I decided that it was my choice and my life and all of those things that happened to me were not me, then that's when I became powerful and I was determined and I decided that I was going to change my life because I had gave the power to someone else. All of those other people that hurt me, they had power. But when I decided it was my responsibility from this point on how I'm going to live my life, that's when I got my power back.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tammy, for your comments.
Thank you,
Sandy. Again, anyone? Go ahead, Tammy. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no! The show and the message, and you know, it's going to really help a lot of women. It really is. Very good show tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. I love the way Crystal categorized and made a point where she said that the things that happened, those circumstances, was not her. And when she chose to look at things differently, how her power was restored to her. And so, you know, that is a good lesson perhaps for all of us to remember, is that whatever life has dished us out is not who we are, it's just part of what has happened to us in our life.
One thing I want to add to that, too, is the whole domestic violence. You know, I used to call myself a survivor, and now I look at it a little different. I call it an experience because when I was calling myself a survivor, that means that I was locked in that survivor mode. And, you know, when you read, it says a survivor is this, a survivor is that, a survivor is this. And so I started to internalize that those things. And when I decided to just call it an experience, that's when I had a choice. That's when it gave me a choice to decide as to whom I'm going to be, not what they said. They say that a survivor is to be.
Very well stated. Very well stated. We have just a few more moments left for those that are have not made the call in and would like to speak with Crystal in the next couple of moments that we have. Our call-in number is 516-531-9819, and simply press 1 to alert me that you want to speak on air, and I will certainly let you do that and speak with Crystal. Caller, area code 404-918, you're on the air.
Hi, Sandy, this is Linda, and I'd like to just thank you for your program as well, and also Crystal for the powerful message that you're sharing with us, especially the last comment that you made in terms of domestic violence and being a survivor versus having that as an experience. I think that's very important. I spent a little time, I haven't experienced domestic violence myself, but I spent a little time working in a crisis center, a shelter, and I think that that's a very powerful point to make. I also wanted to just add something to what Sandy from, I can't remember which of the things that you were reading from at the beginning of the program regarding the pressure to be strong in terms of black women. I think that in some cases, mine in particular, I felt the need to be strong because I didn't really have anything else except for my strength. Especially, I was also a single parent at one point when I felt that I perhaps needed to speak to someone professionally. I was left with, well, when would I do it? You know, how would I, you know, logistically, at what point would I fit into my already busy and already hectic life an appointment twice a week or something like that? So I made the choice to just try to wing it the best way that I can, and in looking at the choices, strong, angry, or misunderstood, I can also recognize that I've been all of those things, and also frustrated. I find myself providing strength to others, but just not having that same experience, that same opportunity to look for other people, toward other people for strength at times that I needed. So I just wanted to mention that.
Well, thank you, Linda. I appreciate your comments. Crystal, would you like to respond?
Yeah, I was really at that right there with Linda when she was talking about being a single parent, and she was all of those three things at one time. Am I correct, Linda?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yes, and I was at that place once as well, you know, and it's a very frustrating place to be because, you know, if people see that you may, you know, one day you may be sad or, you know, you may have a bad day, they always expect you to be that cheery person all the time. And sometimes you want to come down a little bit and you want to take that time out to feel some of that stuff.
And I understand that place where you were, Linda.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments, Linda. Caller, area code 404-484, you're on the air.
Hello, Miss Sandy. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to the ladies talk all night long. It's a beautiful thing to hear the ladies talk because my mom was a single parent with four kids, and I grew up with her and my two older sisters and my younger brother, and I saw the struggles and the different things that she had to deal with growing up. And y'all have this is an astronomical show. I'm just so grateful to hear our sisters come on the show and you to have a show like this, talk about these things, because these things need to be talked about. I can't even explain. You weighing 230 pounds and losing the weight that you lost to all these things are just so, you know, our women are queens.
Mm-hmm.
Our men understand that they are queens. Even back in the days of the Egyptian days, our men went to our queens to pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
They went to pray to God because God responded to our women. Okay? Who do you know that can birth another human being?
Mm.
Tell me.
Say it. The woman.
No. The woman. The woman. So you love that woman. You respect that woman. You give her that. You know, our men don't even understand. They don't even know. If you just show a little love to that woman, she'll follow you. She'll do whatever you need for her to do. Men, if you're listening to this show, wake the heck up. Our women is in charge. Calm down your ego. Calm down your pride. Because it's our women, that tender love from our women, your grandmother, your mother, your aunts, your sisters, your cousins. You come on, man. It ain't a cousin that you have a crush on. Come on, man. Women and men. But what I'm trying to say is, love those women. You know what? Let me tell you something. My little cousins, they 30 and 40 years old and 50 years old. They love me. You know why? Because I love them. Love your cousins. These women need to know they got men in their family they can go to. They got men in their family. They gonna say, you know, that's no problem. Let me call my cousin. Let me call my brother. Let me call my uncle.
Yeah.
Let me call my father. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Men, take care of your women.
Hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about. Take care of your women. Make them strong. Make them understand that they're beautiful. They are beautiful. Make them understand that they're worthy. They're loved. And Miss Sandy, I'm sorry, but men need to understand these things about our women. Our women are precious.
Please
they
don't
are.
Be sorry in expressing yourself.
No, they are golden. Our women are They are mere existence to life. Without women, we wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to disrespect our women, you want to do all the different things to our women, guess what? The universal law is going to deal with you. But check this out. Love our women. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's an old lady, because that old lady got grandchildren. She's trying to cross the street. She got grandchildren. She got children. And she got people that love her. Help her across that street.
Yes, sir.
Love on her. Kiss her on the cheek. Say, that ain't no problem, sweetheart. Love on her. Men, understand your role. You are a man. You protect your women. You protect them in every way. You make sure they eat, drink, clothe, and you make sure that they know you, understand you and life. Men, do that. I'm on the Sandy Rogers Show. Men, do your job. Stop caring about yourself and about all that you want to do for you. Take care of your women. When you take care of your women, your life is going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. Miss Ann, I'm
Thank
sorry.
Thank you so much. Like I said, don't be sorry. Your comments are heartfelt, and we each felt your love coming through your statements, and I appreciate you saying that about, you know, the older women, the jewels of our community. We
do
need to reach and touch them, you know, in a special way. And so I appreciate you for bringing that to our memory. And thank you so much.
Thank you. And
thank
have a good
you.
Evening. Thank you.
Thank
good
you,
night.
Too.
Thank you.
So, Crystal, we have had an absolutely wonderful time in discussing women, strong, angry, or misunderstood, experiences in life, and your willingness and openness to share with us has just really brought so much more meaning and color to the discussion. And we applaud you on winning the Max Muscle. We applaud you on becoming a number one best-selling author for your book, and we look forward to your new book coming out. And we just are blessed by you and all that you bring to the universe. Is there any closing thoughts that you want to share with the audience?
You know, I just want to say thank you for having me tonight on your show, and I want to thank all of the callers that called in, and, you know, even the people that didn't have a chance to call, and all your listeners, I appreciate them as well. And I just want to say just never give up, you know. Never give up even during your darkest times. That is when you really break through, and that's when you really make that change. So I thank you, Sandy, for having me.
Oh, Crystal, you're a sweetheart. I thank you sincerely. And I wanted to close the show out with a piece that I wrote a few years ago called My Liberation. I was actually driving down the street on my way to a group facilitation engagement that I had, and the words just were so strong. You know how you get inspired and you wonder where this inspiration comes from. Well, this was what this happened to be. But I always have paper and pen with me in the car, next to the bed, wherever I am. You can ask anyone that knows me. I always have paper and pencil because I'm going to take some notes. But this is what I was gifted with. It's called My Liberation. I used to be an angry black woman. disguised in beautiful clothes and worldly success. Now I am joyous and free. Yes, this is the brand new me. I wore a bright smile and designer labels. I always worked hard, giving my best. I enjoyed plenty of public success. I used to be an angry woman, yet I did not know. Something always seemed to be missing. Money and fulfillment kept at a low. My life is absolutely perfect, just as it should be. Declaring I am joyous and free, yes, little old me. Did not know I was an angry woman until I was totally free. No one knew, not even I, what shame and guilt I hid inside. I have worked diligently to be free, attended seminars and read the best books, sat in solitude for countless hours and days, had to take a look at all my stubborn ways. Today I am liberated. Right now I am free. Take a look at beautiful, authentic me. Thank you one and all for joining me today on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, where we talk candidly about positive experiences, personal development, self-discovery, and holistic wellness. When we love ourselves, cause no harm or danger to anyone, and we are at peace and harmony with all of humanity. This is your host, Sandy Rogers. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. May you forever live and dwell by wellness.
Life, love.